Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Heavenly Father, most gracious and awesome God, keeper of the universe, creator of all things, of all mankind. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning to the people of God. God, we beckon you this morning. We ask you, Father, for your very presence right now. Ask you to come in the midst, God. Help us to teach, oh God. Help us to live, oh God, according to your will and your way, according to what your word has directed us to do. We pray now, Father, for this earth, because it is yours and the fullness thereof. We pray now for every person therein, God, that they would seek you and find you while you may yet be found, that they may call on the name of Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God, so that healing, deliverance, salvation, redemption, repentance, God, forgiveness is theirs for the asking. We bless you this morning, Father. We bless you this morning, Son. We bless you this morning, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, send forth a word, even into us first, that will cause our lives to be imparted with your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. We thank you now for mercy and for grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray and we receive these things unto us as from you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Good morning, people of God. We will bless the Lord at all times, and God's praises shall continually be in our mouths. Our very soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Come on and magnify the Lord with me this morning. Come on and magnify the Lord with me this morning. Help me. Let us exalt his very name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he has done great things. He has done mighty things. God has done marvelous, marvelous, wonderful, wonderful works. He has done great things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, God. Wow. We bless God for life this morning. We say good morning to you, Rhema Christian Fellowship, our virtual community church, our covenant partners, our people who have committed to supporting. We thank God for you. And we say good morning to each and every person who hears this message, who is blessed enough to have the insight and the hearing, oh God. Who is blessed enough, God, to be in the mindset to receive your word, Father. We say good morning to you all, and we thank you. Come on, hang on in there. Tune in. Come on, hang on in there. Listen, while you're looking at me and I'm looking at you, we've got to continue to lift each other up, to help each other up, to encourage each other. Amen. The Word of God reminds us not to judge each other. Hey, because if we judge, we're going to be judged by that same standard. Amen. And this morning, amen, the Word of God for the people of God, thank you, Lord, there is something in your eye. There is something in your eye. Amen. There is something in your eye. Wow. There is something in your eye. Wow. There is something in your eye. I will bless God at all times. Yes, there is something in your eye this morning. And I'm saying that to myself and everybody else. There is something in your eye. We're going straight into the Word this morning. Let's look at the book of Matthew. And we're going to be looking in the 7th chapter. So I want you to get your Bibles ready. We're going to be looking at the 7th chapter of Matthew. And I want you to get your Bibles ready. While you're getting ready, listen, if you're so moved, we'd like you to go ahead and share this link with someone. Listen, we want you to encourage somebody who's not able to get out to service, who doesn't know how to get to service. They're at home, but they have an internet connection. We want you to go ahead and drop them a message. Drop, if they're on Facebook, drop their name in the chat. Hey, if they're on YouTube, copy the link on YouTube and just drop it to them in a message. But we want you to encourage you and to ask you that if you're so moved, that you would share this message with somebody else so that they too can be blessed by the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Also, if they want to tune in, they may not be a Facebook person. We are running this live on RhemaCFChurch.com. Amen. RhemaCFChurch.com. This broadcast is going out live. There is something in your eye. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew, the 7th chapter this morning. And we're going to begin by looking at the 1st through the 5th verses. Then we're going to go all the way to the end of that chapter. And we'll talk about some things in between. Amen. Because we want to get a full understanding of the Word of God this morning. So if we would go to Matthew, the 7th chapter this morning, and beginning at the 1st through the 5th verse, amen. And we're going to first look at the King James Version of these 5 verses, and then we're going to switch over to the English Standard Version. So it says here, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." That was the King James Version of verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 7. Wow, there are some questions asked. There are some commandments given. There are some directions for us to follow. So much within those 5 verses. But what those 5 verses are doing is causing us to begin to look at ourselves as we look at each other. Amen. I want to read that again in the English Standard Version. It's just a little more clear with the vocabulary that's used. Maybe a little more clear for someone who's not familiar with all of the wording in the King James. Amen. So let's look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5, and let's read that together. I hope you have your Bibles open. If you don't, we have it on the screen. Read it along with us. Amen. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you seek the speck that is but in your brother's eye? Do not notice the log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. My goodness. Wow. So that was Matthew 7, 1 through 5 in the English Standard Version. And some of the vocabulary is different, but there are words that are synonymous. They mean the same thing. So as we look at those verses, are we beginning to see what Christ is saying here? And let me just give you a little background on these scriptures. In Matthew 7, this is actually the third part or section 2, the Sermon on the Mount that Christ was giving. And this was the summation, this portion of those scriptures, excuse me. And so as we look at this, Christ is speaking and he's giving some directions and instructions, but he's also giving some warnings. Can you see warnings here? Can you see directions here and instructions? Can you see that he is letting you know there's some things you should do and some things you should not do? There's some things you might do, but you shouldn't necessarily do them. So as we look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5, let's look at the definition of some of those words that we have here. As we looked at the King James Version, we saw the word, thank you, Lord, beam. We saw the word, excuse me, log. We saw the word, and we got into the English Standard Version, we saw speck versus, thank you, Lord, mote. We saw mote versus speck. We saw beam versus log. And so it says a mote or a speck. It's just the word that's used, but the meaning is the same. A small particle. You see the word? This is the definition of mote. So it says a small particle or speck, especially of dust. A very tiny thing. So how can we see the mote, that very small speck in our brother's eye? Come on. Hey, you're looking at that. First, he starts off by saying, judge not that ye be not judged. Does this give us a clue to what Christ is saying here? For with the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Oh my goodness. Judge not, Matthew 7, 1 through 5, that English Standard Version. Elder, if you bring it up below, please. Judge not, and there are some specific words I want us to look at, to focus on, the highlighted words. Judge not. Why? Be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. And I want us to focus on those words, judge not. If you judge not, you be not judged. You won't be judged. So he's telling you, don't do it. That's an instruction. That's a command. Don't judge. Guess what? Then you won't what? Be judged. Let's go on to the next verse. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. So if you judge, if you open your mouth and you judge someone else, if you bring it out that you're judging them, you're looking at what's going on with them, then you're going to be judged as well. And it says that the extent you judge, you see, sometimes we can judge a smidgen, and then some of us just keep on going. It says with the measure you use it what? Judgment. You'll be measured too. You will be measured by that same thing. So if you're constantly looking at what someone else is doing, that's that mote, that speck in your brother's eye, in your sister's eye. Don't take it literally on brothers, on your in anyone's eye. Well, they're not my brother. Listen, we are all children of the Most High. And even those who have not professed him and proclaim him, we cannot judge them, what their actions are, what they are doing, because guess what? If we judge them, we're going to be judged. We have to remember, even those of us who are of the house of God, those of us who have become the church, we have to remember that we were not always where we are. Y'all know when I pause like that, that's so that you can think about it. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. I'm telling you, he didn't say you might. If you call judgment on someone else, it's going to be called on you as well. With the measure you use it, listen. Some people might say, oh, look at her. Look at what she's doing. And then somebody else takes it to another level. She knows good and well. She shouldn't be. Guess what? Then God is going to be looking at you saying, you knew good and well. You shouldn't have been doing that. Listen, it will be measured back to you. You have to go under the same scrutiny as you put someone else under. And I want us to really remember that this morning. We look at others and we scrutinize and we look at them and we're thinking all kinds of things. We're saying all kinds of things about the way they're living. Listen, give them the word of God. The word of God says, let your response be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Listen, even things of the past that we bring up about other people, we have to be very careful of how we do that, even if we know it to be a fact. You can call somebody else to judge, listen, just by your comments. You can call someone else to judge this person who they know nothing about, or maybe they do know something about them. But guess what? If you call somebody else to judge me, guess what? Somebody else has to judge you. That's that measure we meet. Third verse says, why? Ask a question. Why do you see the speck that is, but in your brother's eye? It's a question. It's a question, y'all. But, oh my God, why do you see the speck that is, but in your brother's eye? Do not notice the log, my God, that is in your own eye. From a speck to a log, from a mote to a beam. Now, as we understand the word of God, and that's why I showed you the King James Version as well as the English Standard Version, because many times we talk about the beam in the eye, we're thinking something shining. Listen, it's about what's there. That thing in your eye is much greater, you see, than that thing you see in your brother's eye. And is it because of you being a judger? Is it because of you being critical of them that you make the beam, that thing in your eye, become a beam or a log? As it says here, why do you see the speck, the little tiny thing, little particle of maybe dust, maybe a little splinter if we would refer to it wood to wood? Why do you see the speck that is, but in your brother's eye, do not notice the log that is in your own eye? You've got this horacious mess going on, but yet you have in your mind opportunity to look at what I'm doing, to look at what your brother or sister is doing. But you got this, while you're looking at them with this greatness of, oh my goodness, listen, you are growing the beam, the log in your own eye. You're causing what you're doing to be even greater than anything they could ever do. Let's look at the word, thank you, Lord, beam versus log. Let's look at the definition because we need to know. The beam, any of various relatively long pieces of metal, wood, stone. When we think of a beam this way, we're not talking about a beam of light. We're talking about a beam of something that you can use to even put up a building. Oh my gosh. A beam, if you think about some of the houses that are designed with the wood rafters running across the ceiling, a beam of metal, of wood, of stone, things to hold up things. See, my goodness, you got enough in your eye to hold up some stuff. And then you're looking at that speck that's in your brother's eye, a log, a portion or length of the trunk or of a large limb of a tree, something inert, something heavy. My gosh. That third verse again says, why do you see the speck that is, but in your brother's eye, do not notice the log that is in your own eye. Come on. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Or how can you say to your brother, that fourth verse, let me take That little tiny speck. Let me get that. Let me help you fix this. Let me show you how this should be. Let me show you how you need to live. Let me show you. Let me move you this way. I don't think you should be going that way. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck. Let me take what I see in you. I see you doing wrong. I see you're on the edge. I see you about to fall. I see you about to fail again. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye? Listen, you think behind closed doors you're doing what you want to do. You're living the way you want to live. Maybe out in the open even. You're living the way you want to live, not according to his will or his way. And so you say to your brother, let me help you get your life straight. You don't yet have your own life straight. Let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye. How can you help somebody else? Learn to live the way God wants us to live. How can you help your brother or sister know who God is when they see you, who is supposed to know God, who is professing God, who is proclaiming God, who is proclaiming to live like him? You expect them to follow your lead, but they see you. Don't forget that they see you. I think sometimes, if I think about some of the reality shows, even some of the ones I watch, Survivor, Amazing Race, I watch those shows, but I think sometimes, do they realize that the whole world is watching? Some of the things they say or they do they realize that they're in front of the camera? Oh my goodness. And then sometimes I think about this, when they're doing what they call their little interviews with them one-on-one, and they're saying something about the other person or persons in the group or in the game. And I often say, do they realize that that person is going to go back and watch this later? But they're professing and declaring that they're their friend, that they're for them. But when they get behind those closed doors, they say anything about them. All because of a game. Let me tell you, we are not in a game. This is real life. Listen, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? There's a tiny, small thing going on with them. And then you've got this great foolishness. As pastors and leaders and preachers and teachers, listen, as Christians, as those who have professed to be the church of God, how can you look at the world, look at those who are out there in the world, and look at what they're living and how they're doing it, yet you can't see the harm that you are bringing to the earth, the harm that you are bringing to the kingdom because of your actions, because of your living? Listen, judge not that you be not judged. But how can you look at them? You know what the difference is? They who have not accepted God, or they who have not been taught of God, are not held under the greater of judgment from God. But you who have professed that you are of him, that you know him, that for God I live and God I'll die. You will die if you are not right before him. Let's look at that fifth verse. I declare and decree that the word of God says right here, you hypocrite. We don't like to be called that. First, take the log out of your own eye. You get it together first. I'll leave that right there. You get yourself together. First, it says first, change your ways. Repent unto God. Go, my God, behold, all things become new. Become a new creature. Listen. Listen what the word of God says. Take the log out of your own eye. Get yourself there before you can tell anybody anything about Christ. Before you can bring souls into the kingdom. First, take the log out of your own eye. Stop doing what you're doing. And then, it says, you will see clearly You'll be able to help. God will show you the way to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You're not judging them now. You see, what you're seeing is because I was that way, because I did those same things. God has released me from them. God has saved me and brought me up from those very things that I was doing that you're doing. I have a testimony now. I can bring you out. I can pray with you. I can encourage you to come on out. I can't bring you out. Now God has to bring you out. Let's make that clear. But you, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Yes. There is something in your eye. When there's something in your eye, you're a hypocrite. My God. Thank you, Lord. When what comes out of your mouth is not worthy, you are the hypocrite. Oh my gosh. You hear the street person with the profanity and the cursing and the language, and you say, oh my gosh, why are they using that? But you hypocrite, you speak against your brother or sister. It's just as bad, as foul as the language of the earth. Come on, somebody. First, take the log out of your own eye. Get yourself together. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You got a whole big old log. Oh my goodness. Elder, bring up that image. You got a whole log, a whole beam stuck in your eye. And theirs might be the size of an eyelash that fell in. There's something in your eye, you hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. My God. So when we look at the beam, the log, the greatness of the thing in our brother's eye, what they're living, what they're going through, what they're doing, what they're dealing with, we can't help them. Wow, because of what's in us, we've got to make sure what's in us is pure and clear. I'm not preaching hard this morning. I'm teaching us this morning. And when we look in that seventh chapter of Matthew, as Christ surmises or brings together that Sermon on the Mount, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This is a continuation of what Christ was teaching his disciples. And he was teaching them now to judge righteously. You see? Judge right. Judge not that you be not judged. But by what measure you do judge, you shall be judged as well. Do it righteously. Do it in a way that's going to help somebody. Oh my goodness. When we look back at Matthew at 7 and the summation of the Sermon on the Mount, we look at Christ expounding on how we treat each other. And if we go further into that book of Matthew, he continues to tell us some things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. About how to live. About how to treat each other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. He goes on to tell us what is appropriate for asking God some things, for seeking, for knocking. He goes on to tell us, to remind us about when we're asked certain things. He reminds us that if our sons, our children ask us for certain things, will we give them things opposite? That are horrible, that are egregious. If they ask us for bread to eat, are we going to give them a stone? Do we get the concept of that? Judge not that you be not judged. If they're asking for help, are we going to turn our back? You see, that's why we can relate this thing. My God, he's telling us that we have to enter through narrow gates. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many are going through that destructive place. Many are going through that place that's going to tear their soul up, that's going to cause them to be left out. But small is the gate, it says in that 14th verse, and narrow the road that leads to life. And it says, only a few find it. Judge not, that you be not judged. Make sure that you've got yourself together. Get that beam, that log out of your own eye so that you can be on the straight and narrow. You see, because we cannot judge. Yes, we encourage. Yes, we try to help people to know God. Yes, we encourage them. Yes, we say, my brother, my sister, this is not the way. But you got to know, be able to tell them what is the way. The way is Christ, the way, the truth, the life. We've got to be able to give them God. We want them to come out of the world. Come on. And it also warns us, he warns us about the false teachings, the false prophets. Listen, broad is the way to destruction for them. But we've got to be on the straight and narrow. We've got to hear God in the word of God. We've got to know God in the word of God. True and false disciples. He's telling us that they are there. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Listen, some of those disciples, those followers of Christ, who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the manner that they should be doing it in, they're causing others to feel the road that is wide. I'm telling you, you're drawing people the wrong way. And Christ brings, he sums it up. He sums up that seventh chapter. That 24th verse, I'm going to just read this in your hearing. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts these words into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so when the storms of life come, when the waters are rolling, that house is able to stand, you see? But those who build their house on sand, you don't have a foundation. You just doing it because you want to do it. Doing it your way without knowledge of who God is. It says when the storms come, when the waves roll, you're going to be washed away. Judge not that you be not judged. There is something in your eye. When you don't have your foundation laid in Christ, there is something in your eye. There is still something on the inside of you that God needs to bring out. That he needs to take out of you. He needs to make you anew. He needs to see who you are. He knows you. But sometimes he needs us to look in the mirror and see we've got a big old something in our eye. I want you to think about this. Sometimes when you get something in your eye, you run to try to look in the mirror. You try to blow it out, fan it out. You get somebody to blow it. Blow my eye. I know it's kids, but blowing my eye. Something's there. You try to wash it out, flush it out. And it can be the smallest thing. It can be an eyelash. It can be a speck of dust. And it will irritate us to no end. Can you imagine a whole beam? Look at the beam. Look at the big log. Come on, Elder. Look at the log in your eye. Look at that thing. You wouldn't even be able to stand or sustain something like that in your eye. That means something on the inside of you that is greater than even you, my God. In the verses 28 and 29 of chapter 7 says this. When Jesus finished these sayings, when he finished teaching and preaching, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at Jesus' teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had what? Authority, and not as their scribes. Not just telling them some things that they heard, some things, come on, Elder, that they knew, some things that they'd experienced, but he taught with authority. He taught because he was the authority. He taught because he was the expert on these things. He taught them from a place of knowledge, understanding, wisdom. He taught these very things. Judge not that you be not judged. He made sure they understood that you cannot help anybody. That's what it is. When you have something in your eye, you can't help anybody with something in their eye. Because I want you to just picture this. If there's something in your eye, At the same time, there's something in somebody else's eye and you trying to get out. You can't help them get what's in their eye because you're too busy trying to get what's in your eye. You can't see your way. You, oh my gosh, something in your eye will blind you to the facts of life, will blind you to what God needs you to hear. Those things will blind you and cause you to be hypocritical because you cannot see. And when you cannot see what God is showing you, guess what? Even your hearing is distorted. You cannot hear the voice of God. When one sense is being messed up, the other senses are supposed to be sharpened, you see? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. There is something in your eye. And God needs you, not me. God needs you to cause him, allow him, call on him to be that optometrist, to take that thing out of your eye. Because listen, the eye is probably the most sensitive of our outer organs. Because if something happens to the eye, it can affect the brain. It can affect your thought. I'm telling you, oh my gosh. Because your eyes lead you where you need to go. If there's something in your eye, it's affecting everything on the inside. If there's something that causes your eyes not to function anymore, you can't see where you're going. You have to begin to depend on other portions of your body, other senses to be strong. Don't you be the hypocrite that has something in your eye and you're trying to help your brother get something out of their eye. There's something in your eye this morning, but God is able to remove that thing. God is able to heal that thing. He's able to take that whole log and cast it aside. Oh my goodness. And when you are able to do that, then you might be able to see the speck in your brother's eye. It says you will, but you'll be able to lead them in the right manner. You'll be able to cause them to come to Christ in the right manner. Listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're offering you, and that's all we can do is offer you salvation. Because listen, nobody can judge you without being judged.